Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, August 2nd. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD Report Card. District expects B rating. Projection shows district to earn best grade in two decades. Text by Stuart Doreen. Photo by Tim Fisher. The academic rebound taking place at Midland ISD got a shot in the arm on Monday. During convocation ceremonies, MISD Superintendent Angelica Ramsey told MISD teachers, staff members, and other employees and district officials at Shap Center that the district, quote, outperformed most larger school districts in the state, unquote, and will be B-rated when the Texas Education Agency comes out with official grades for districts around the state later this month. She also said the district has more reasons to celebrate, as it projects there will be three times the number of A and B campuses compared to the last time grades were handed out after the 2018-19 school year, when there were four. Also, district officials expect the number of failing campuses will drop from 9 to 2. And those two failing campuses are off by 1 percentage point, Ramsey stated. If the B rating for Midland ISD holds up, it will likely go down as the top TEA performance rating for Midland ISD in two decades. One must go back to 2002 when the Texas Education Agency rated MISD as a recognized campus. The recognized rating was the second highest of the four ratings the TEA gave that year. The rating system now uses letter grades, A, B, C, D, and F. Moving to a B rating is a testament of a school district keeping the academic achievement of students as its singular priority, Ramsey wrote in an email to the Reporter Telegram. We outperformed several school districts which are considered high-performing in our state. This was possible due to the work of our educators and students. Our community can once again have pride in our system and trust that we are serving our community's children well. Ramsey stated that the district's accountability is measured using a variety of indicators, including performance on state assessments, college, career, and military readiness, CCMR, and graduation rates. In addition, ratings are factored by examining achievement, progress, and closing achievement gaps among our student groups, she said. The last time the TEA ranked districts and campuses around the state, Midland ISD earned its second straight C that year, a 75 following a 73 in 2018. Following the 2002 recognized rating, the TEA ranked Midland ISD as academically acceptable 2004-8 and 2010 and 2011, and then having met standard 2013-2017. No ratings were handed out in 2003 and 2012. In 2009, Midland ISD started on its downward academic trend for the better part of a decade with an academically unacceptable rating, which would be comparable to a failing grade. The projected B grade this year is another in the line of good news for Midland ISD and its academic turnaround efforts. The 2021-22 academic year was the first full year for Ramsey, and grades released officially later this month will be the first with her as superintendent in Midland. The TEA didn't hand out ratings the last 2 years because of the pandemic and its impact on Texas schools. the turnaround of academic achievement is not the usual. As research shows, it takes 3 to 5 years to make lasting change, Ramsey wrote. Therefore, we must continue to work on strengthening instruction, building the capacity of our amazing educators and leaders, and building coherence throughout the system. Midland ISD's academic rebound has been a hot topic since the end of the school year. First, Midland ISD board members heard about gains related to academic achievement, specifically Lone Star Governance Program goals that the district met under Ramsey's leadership. Then, the district reported its first round of STAR scores showed academic performance growth, including the number of times that students in grades 3 to 8 surpassed 70% passage, increased from one time in 2021 to 9 times this year. The success of the last school year serves as a catalyst into this school year, Ramsey wrote. Implementing change in a large organization comes with several barriers, one of which is a lack of milestones. The amazing growth this past year eliminates that barrier. It also provides our community with a tangible reassurance that the governance and leadership team are steering MISD in the right direction. There is still a lot of work to do. Improvement is a process, not a destination. All of MISD is ready to meet the challenge of this school year with pride. This article is entitled, Couple Urges MDC Board to Support MC Aviation Program, by Mella McEwen. Midland attorney Ed Anderson took advantage of the public comments period to ask members of the Midland Development Corporation Board to help save Midland College's aviation maintenance program. He accompanied his wife Diane, an incoming county commissioner, to the board's monthly meeting Monday. She stressed the need to train and maintain technicians, especially if MDC wants to expand on the aerospace economy it is establishing with AST in science and Kepler Aerospace, not to mention the charter aircraft companies like Deerhorn Aviation. Sarah Harris, MDC Executive Director, told the Reporter-Telegram following the board meeting that board members will review the documents provided by the Andersons and have further discussion on the topic. Quality of life projects then dominated the agenda for the board members as they met for the first time since June. Tim Stollard, Executive Director of the Busch Tennis Center, gave a presentation on the planned expansion of the center into an athletic complex, including 5 indoor basketball/volleyball courts, a 50-yard indoor turf room, and 12,000-square-foot high-performance training facility. Stollard told board members construction of the expansion is expected to start in the next 60 to 90 days. We're excited about the project and excited to share about the project, he said. We're excited to share with you the economic impact of the project. He shared with the board members an estimate from Visit Midland that showed a test volleyball event is expected to bring 600 attendees renting hotel rooms and 1,800 total show attendees over the 2-day event for an economic impact calculation of $462,953.58. The recent Junior Nationals diving event hosted by COM Aquatics brought attendees renting the equivalent of 500 room nights and more than 2,000 total show attendees for an economic impact calculation of $1.847 million. The final was a volleyball event Midland hosted that was spread over every court available in the city for 2 days. The event brought the equivalent of over 4,965 room nights, a total of 10,717 show attendees, and an estimated economic impact of $2.130 million. In a related agenda item, board members approved a second amendment to a promotional agreement with the Permian Basin Area Foundation. The agreement allows the MDC board to approve additional administrative payments to the foundation as it serves as the fiscal sponsor for the Quality of Place Conservancy, which is raising the $55 million to fund the Hogan Park Initiative. In other action, board members approved an interlocal agreement with the University of Texas Permian Basin to help promote the upcoming Midland Entrepreneurial Challenge. Ryan Peckham, Roden Fellow for Entrepreneurship at UTPB, told the board two past competition winners have already claimed their entire winnings, and two others are more than halfway to claiming their funding. He said participants have told him it's not just seed money for their businesses, but support they receive in how to go about starting or operating their businesses that has been important. Board members also approved payment of $18,825.29 to UTPB's Incubator and Makerspace Grant, part of the agreement between the two entities. Brian Shedd, Executive Director of UTPB's Office of Innovation and Commercialization, told board members renovations are already underway at the Center for Energy and Economic Diversification, located just west of Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, and that two companies are in talks to be the first tenants. Parkhill Smith & Cooper will receive up to $110,300 for a site assessment of land owned by the City of Midland at Midland International Airport. Signed an abatement contract with Ron Osborne, Inc. for $280,649 for hazardous material abatement at the downtown property MDC purchased from the J.L. Davis family. And with Strong Environmental Services for $129,750 to serve as consultant to oversee the abatement process. Agreed to continue its agreement with Higher Orbits to promote the Go for Launch education programs at Midland Schools. This article is entitled, Urban Air, Brew Street, Receive Their Alcohol Designations, by Mella McEwen. Two businesses are moving forward with opening plans after receiving alcohol designations from Planning and Zoning Commissioners Monday. Gina Marie Soto, owner of Urban Air Midland Adventures, which is bringing Urban Air to the former Steinmart location at 4706 North Midkiff Road, had requested a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in an amusement commercial indoors facility. Urban Air locations include trampoline, climbing walls, ropes, courses, video games, mini-golf, laser tag, and more. After questioning about parking, commissioners unanimously approved Soto's request. Soto told the Reporter-Telegram afterwards there should be between 1,000 and 1,300 parking spaces available to her customers. Urban Air employees will park in the back, as do employees of Market Street adjacent to her location. She is looking to establish drop-off in the front with six-seat golf carts that can ferry customers, those carrying cakes and decorations, or those with special needs, to the center. That will leave 1,000 spaces in the parking lot, which are shared by the retailers in the shopping center. Market Street is so excited about us coming and the people we'll bring. They're offering more spaces, she said. She anticipates Urban Air will open in December, she said. Hours will be from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, and noon to 8 p.m. Sundays. Commissioners also unanimously approved a request by Brew Street for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant at its new location at 111 North C Street. Marcia Madrid, who owns Bruce Street with husband Carlos, said they have just started renovations on the new site, which was the home of Marvin Ulmer. They said they plan to keep the integrity and feel of the historic home while converting it into a restaurant with a drive-through. Bruce Street offers a variety of goods, including vegan comfort food, specialty coffee, and vegan baked goods. Hours will be 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Saturday, with alcohol service from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. In other action, commissioners approved a request by Reynaldo Hernandez for a zone change from C, Commercial District, to O1, Office District, on a 0.77-acre tract of land at 1512 Wayside, in order to build an office building for his safety business, Aim Straight Drug Screen Company. Approved unanimously a request by Travis and April Bushman for a zone change from AE, Agricultural Estates District, to CE, Country Estates District, on a 1.7-acre tract of land in order to build a home at 3701 Todd Drive. The couple are replatting the lot, and the zone change is required to conform to zoning ordinances on lot size. This article is entitled, Habitat Dedicates House Funded by Endeavor Energy, by the Midland Reporter-Telegram. On July 19th, Midland Habitat for Humanity dedicated its 179th house, 813 Wolfberry Court, to a deserving homeowner. The home was funded by Endeavor Energy Resources and individual donors to MHFH's year-end campaign. Endeavor employees spent 2 weeks volunteering on the job site, the Habitat Restore, and office. Midland Habitat is one of the premier institutions responsible for constructing affordable housing in the Permian Basin. The organization's partnership model offers deserving, hardworking families a hand-up. Midland Habitat uses a rigorous qualifying process that includes progress from the application through home ownership. Each participant contributes a minimum of 350 hours of sweat equity on the worksite and completes a home ownership education program. Successful candidates are then awarded a 0% interest mortgage, making home ownership a reality for some of the neediest families in the Permian Basin. Anyone interested in supporting Midland Habitat's efforts in the Permian Basin can contact Jeff Myers, Chief of Staff, at 432-686-8877. For more information, visit habitatmidland.org or call 432-686-8877. This column is called Crime in Brief. DPS, woman dies in Saturday evening accident. A 55-year-old woman died at the scene after her 2022 GMC Canyon struck a telephone pole and fence on Saturday evening, according to the Department of Public Safety. DPS officials reported on Monday that Diana D. of Dayton was driving the GMC westbound on West County Road 127, about 6 miles west of Midland. It was there that the vehicle veered off the roadway to the right, according to DPS. The driver then overcorrected to the left, sending the GMC into a skid, DPS reported. The vehicle then struck a telephone pole and fence. The driver of the vehicle was ejected from the vehicle. DPS reported that D was not wearing a seatbelt. The accident happened around 6:34 p.m. Saturday. Midlander dies in collision in Reeves County. Department of Public Safety officials are searching for the driver of a vehicle that fled the scene of a fatality accident in Reeves County on early Sunday. DPS reported that Jonathan Robert Ornelas, 31, was pronounced dead at the scene after his 2022 Dodge Ram struck another vehicle at the intersection of County Road 437 and U.S. Highway 285. The impact caused Ornelas' Dodge Ram to come to a complete stop at the intersection, DPS reported. The driver and sole occupant of Vehicle 1 was found deceased. Vehicle 2 fled the scene of the crash in an unknown direction. If anyone has any information concerning this crash, please contact the Texas Department of Public Safety at 432-498-2131 or the Reeves County Sheriff's Office at 432-445-4901. The accident happened around 1:05 a.m. Sunday. DPS also reported that Ornelas was not wearing a seatbelt. DPS, Odessan dies in collision near Kermit. A 28-year-old Odessan died Sunday morning after a collision west of Kermit, according to the Department of Public Safety troopers. DPS officials reported Monday that Eduardo Lozoya died at the scene following a collision that took place around 1:35 a.m. Sunday, about 15 miles west of Kermit. DPS officials said that Lozoya was driving east on State Highway 302 and crossed the center line into the westbound lane. It was then that the vehicle struck the front of a Kenworth truck tractor with trailer. MPD, welfare check leads to multiple charges. Sergio Castillo Castareña was taken to the Midland County Detention Center and is facing multiple charges following an incident Sunday evening, according to the Midland Police Department. MPD reported Monday that officers responded to a call regarding a welfare check in the 3400 block of Roosevelt. MPD then reported that Castareña is facing charges of unlawful restraint, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and interfering with an emergency call. The investigation is ongoing. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, August 2nd. LaVita Harris. LaVita Fern Fox Harris was born October 12, 1931, to Eunice Fern Hammond and Arnold Fox in Pangburn, Arkansas. Fern was preceded in death by both of her parents and her husband of 57 years, Max Harris. She is survived by her daughters, Vicki Lynn Harris and Travis Ann Michael Terry, as well as 5 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren. The family and close friends will have a graveside service at Rest Haven Memorial Park at 11 a.m. Wednesday, August 3rd. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home. Condolences may be offered at www.ellisfunerals.com. Memorials may be made to St. Mark's United Methodist Church in Midland or the Midland charity of your choice. Thomas Dragizic. Thomas Dragizic, 67, of Midland, passed away on July 27th. He was preceded in death by his wife, Jeanette Dragizic, his parents, Nicholas Charles and Elsie Ann Dragizic, and his brother-in-law, William G. Kern. He is survived by his daughters, Nicole Dragizic and husband Nicholas McLean of Midland, and Noelle Hall and husband Clint of Dallas. He is also survived by his siblings, Nicholas Chuck Dragizic and wife Bronwyn of Houston, Arthur Dragizic and wife Sandra of Midland, Patricia Kern of Midland, Robert Bobby Dragizic and wife Anne of Louisville, Peggy Floyd and husband Timber of Midland, Richard Dragizic and spouse William Brookschmidt of New Orleans, and Stephen Dragizic and spouse Chris Dinkins of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thomas's family hopes that you will join us for a celebration of his life at 10:30 a.m. at St. Stephen's Catholic Church on August 4th. In lieu of flowers, we ask that donations be given to Hospice of Midland or the Lone Star Animal Sanctuary. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickland Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Aiko N. Schultz. Aiko N. Schultz, 92, of Midland, passed away July 29th. There will be no service. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickland Welch Funeral Home, and condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Linda Garcia. Linda Louise Garcia, 60, of Midland, passed away July 31st. Services will be held at a later date. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home, and family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Warren Newsom. Warren Newsom, 73, of Midland, passed away July 30th. Viewing will be from 3 to 7 p.m. Friday, August 5th, at Nellie Pickland Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, August 2nd. Odessa water woes cost more than $600,000. The June 13th waterline break that inconvenienced Odessans for the better part of a week cost the city of Odessa nearly $607,000, with the vast majority of the expense going toward equipment costs. Odessa City Manager Michael Marrero said the city set aside $6 million this year for the repair and maintenance of the city's water and sewer lines, and the June event was paid for using those funds. It's fair to say less projects might not get done this year because of the line break, Marrero said. On June 13th, a 24-inch water line that was more than 60 years old broke on 42nd and San Jacinto streets. Because of a faulty valve, city workers were unable to shut off the line near the break and instead had to shut off water for the entire city for more than 48 hours. Ector County residents had to boil their water until June 18th while repairs were made and tests were run to ensure the water was safe to drink. Many businesses, especially restaurants, were forced to close their doors in the meantime. While the city has no way to track how much sales tax revenue it lost, nor how much businesses themselves lost in terms of revenue, on Monday the city released another associated cost to the Odessa American as requested under the Texas Public Information Act. The city spent just under $511,000 in equipment cost, with roughly $358,000 going to Reese Albert, a Midland roadway construction company that had to repair the roadways to Texas Department of Transportation standards, Marrero said. Another $78,000 went to Rangeline Pipeline Services of Haslett, and more than $39,000 was paid to Natera Excavation, a local company. The Ector County Utility District received more than $29,000 for its assistance. The city also paid out just over $32,000 in overtime pay to city employees and roughly $13,000 for costs associated with replenishing the $50,000 in water lost as a result of the break, documents show. The following agencies helped out the city at no cost: Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, Texas Division of Emergency Management, Texas A&M Engineering Extension Service, Texas Department of Public Safety, Texas Department of Transportation, Ector County Environmental Enforcement, Ector County Public Works, and Northeast Midland County Volunteer Fire Department. On Monday, Marrero again thanked everyone for coming together to help the city get through the crisis, especially City of Odessa staff. "I'm very proud of the work the staff did," he said. According to city officials, Odessa is not unique in having an aging infrastructure. Under the city's master plan, Utilities Director Tom Kerr has said he and his crew are systematically replacing the city's older iron-based pipes with those made of PVC, fiberglass, or high-density polyethylene, but it is a long and costly process, he said. Kerr said back in June that a priority list has been developed to replace the lines based on the number of breaks each has had, but the list often changes depending upon where the most recent breaks occur and how critical the line is. Marrero said Monday the city is now in the process of reevaluating and prioritizing projects and will be taking a specific look at the valves nearest the city's plant on 42nd Street. According to the records released Monday, there have been 417 line breaks within city limits from January 8, 2017 through June 30, 2022. Big welcome. Community pulls out the stops for new ECISD teachers. Topping off its best recruiting year in more than a decade, Ector County ISD welcomed about 450 new teachers to the district Monday. The teacher welcome event held at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center is organized by the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. Vendors, welcome signs, mascots, and cheerleaders mark the occasion, along with prize drawings, food, and plenty of swag. Superintendent Scott Murray said there were 450-ish teachers who were either brand new to the district or teachers who have taught elsewhere. "We've had the best recruiting year in over 10 years, so we'll have a great start to the school year because of that," Murray said. He said the recruiting success is a result of a combination of factors such as ECISD's investment in talent, which is part of its strategic plan, pay raises, the teacher incentive allotment, and opportunity culture. "It's a healthy culture," Murray said. He added that you retain people when you have good leadership at the campus level. "It's also a diverse group of teachers this year, with ECISD recruiting from 16 different countries. Murray said it's a win for students when they can interact with different cultures. "We're excited about these new folks," Murray said. Odessa Chamber President and CEO Renee Earls said one thing that's new this year is they have everyone get signed up or receive stickers, which would make them eligible for bigger prizes. "They're getting tons of stuff," Earls said. Criselda Del Mundo will be teaching special education at Pease Elementary School. "I joined the teacher exchange program," said Del Mundo, who is from the Philippines. She said Odessa is small, but the community is good. "I especially like the community for teachers. They're very warm, and they welcomed us, and I'm very happy to be here," Del Mundo said. Mackenzie Johnson will be teaching third grade, all subjects, at Dowling Elementary School. "I love the kids, and I knew teaching would be the right choice for me." ECISD has great kids, Johnson said. Janet Romero will be teaching first through third at Austin Montessori Magnet. She previously taught at Crane Elementary School. Marrero said she was drawn to ECISD because of better pay, more work opportunities, and more teacher resources as far as training and professional development. Marrero added that she is looking forward to the first day of school. "It will be a little hectic, but I'm looking forward to it," she said. Alicia Vaughn will be teaching at the Alternative Education Center, and Crystal Ireland will be teaching third grade math at Ireland Elementary. Vaughn was a long-term sub at ECISD previously. "I like the atmosphere. That's why I'm going to the AEC. I find I work well with students who struggle in school or have discipline problems," she said. Vila said she has always wanted to work where she is from. She said the pay and support she will get drew her to teach here. Both are looking forward to the first day of school, and they appreciated the welcome event. This is amazing. This is great how the community comes together and shows support for the new teachers in the district, Vaughn said. Villa said it feels like Christmas. She added that it felt like a parade with the cheerleaders. Giselle Armendariz is a first-year teacher from Odessa. She will be teaching third-grade bilingual at Goliad Elementary. She added that the event was awesome. It's like we're little kids again, Armendariz said. County budget hearings continue. Ector County commissioners kicked off their budget hearings Monday, and they are scheduled through Wednesday. The hearings were scheduled for 9 a.m., but didn't start until noon Monday because the agenda wasn't posted soon enough. County Auditor Randy Donner said the estimated 2022-23 budget is $66 million, down about $19,000 from last year. The budget and tax rate have to be approved by September 30th. The current tax rate is 0.36500 per $100 valuation. Donner said if it goes up much, it will have to be approved by the voters. Donner said this is because departments didn't ask for as much as they had in previous years. Donner said if they haven't asked for more by now, they probably won't. The big requests had to do with pay. The total budget request for juvenile services was $3,781,000. Total proposed budget for building maintenance was about $4.886 million, and the Parks Department requested about $47,900. Commissioners proposed allocating $1,815,022 to the Coliseum and $436,600 for capital improvements. Juvenile Services Director Kevin Mann asked the county to fund a two-step slide for salaries, 5 more positions, and 2 Tahoes. He said he would like the salaries to be raised so they can compete with other like entities. Mann said they cut 10 positions a few years ago and would like to hire 5. Donner said that would cost $300,000 at least. Mann said he currently has 1 vacancy. Precinct 2 Commissioner Greg Simmons asked if they could hire 4. Mann said they would take what they could get. Also, they need the vehicles so they can transport juveniles out of county and have more room. He said they also have to visit the juveniles in other counties once a month. Mann said the vehicles they have are worn out. Road maintenance, traffic, parks, engineering, motor vehicle repairs, airport, airport capital improvements, equipment services, sales tax planning and development, sales tax motor vehicle repairs maintenance, sales tax road maintenance, and sales tax traffic operations were also on the agenda Monday. Also, senior centers, building maintenance, the Coliseum, Coliseum capital improvement, tax office, 446 District Court, and the cemetery. Today, Tuesday, August 2nd, the Sheriff's Office, Animal Control, Jail, Detention Center, and Medical Services are on the agenda. Also, Courthouse Security, Sales Tax Sheriff, Sales Tax Animal Control, Sales Tax Jail, and Sales Tax Jail Medical. The District Clerk, Records Management, Archive Funds, County Court at Law No. 2, County Agent, County Court at Law, the Health Department, and Post-Sentence Monitoring are also up for consideration. On Wednesday, the County Attorney, Environmental Enforcement, Emergency Management, Sales Tax Environmental Enforcement, and Medical Examiner are on the agenda. Also, Human Resources, Insurance, Self-Funded Liability, Health Benefits, Wellness Clinic under Health Benefits, Other Funds, Purchasing, Postage and Reproduction, IT, Library, Law Library, auditor, and other funds. OC looks to raise fees and taxes. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will consider approving the 2022-23 budget at its 6:30 meeting Tuesday in the Zant Community Room of the Zant Community Center, 201 West University Boulevard. The board discussed the budget at a July 27th work session. At that meeting, Chief Financial Officer Brandy Hamm said the proposed budget with all funds is $75,241,575. The unrestricted funds are $58,761,177, and the restricted and plant funds are $16,480,338. Hamm said restricted funds include things like Pell Grants and any leftover CARES money. CARES stands for Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security. Overall, Hamm said the budget is increasing by $5,537,000, which is equivalent to a 10.4% increase. Hamm said looking at the revenue projections to support the budget, tuition and fees are increasing by $3.3 million, or 24%. Taxes are also increasing by $2.1 million, which Hamm said is equivalent to a 7.9% increase. She added that this is based on net assessed values increasing by 13.5%. The budget priorities for the year are to maintain competitive salaries, support the OC 10,000 initiative, investing in student success strategies, and completion of ongoing construction projects across campus. Some of the main new initiatives are mental telehealth software that will aid our students 24 hours a day, a 20-foot shipping container on our OSET CE department. OSET stands for Occupational Safety and Environmental Technology, chat platform licensing, food pantry vouchers, vehicle replacements, and a ranch water well. On the food pantry vouchers, Hamm said the college has set aside funding for food for the food pantry and vouchers for students to eat in the cafeteria when they are physically on campus. Hamm said the budget also includes a net increase of 23 full-time positions. Our instructional faculty and staff are increasing by 18 positions, the administrative and support staff by 5 positions, for a total of 23, Hamm said. Hamm said the proposed budget also includes a 6% raise for all eligible full-time faculty, professional, and classified staff. OC has 422 employees in the proposed budget, but not everybody would be effective by that. They would have had to be hired before April 15th to be eligible, Hamm said. The salary change moves from 15 semester credit hours for faculty to the 18 semester credit hours for faculty, a one-time mid-year $300 stipend for all eligible full-time employees, and then a mid-year performance bonus for all eligible full-time employees, she said. The board also will accept the resignation of Trustee J.E. Coach Presley, a Vision 2030 Plus update, Summer Pantry Garden update, Academic Partnerships, Summer Recruitment Efforts, Education Report, Bachelor Degree Updates, Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, Commission on Colleges, SACS, COC, Reaffirmation. Quick Hits, Free Back-to-School Haircuts. A back-to-school free haircut event will take place from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. today at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish, 1401 Garden Lane, Midland. There will be free haircuts, free hot dogs, free backpack giveaways, and free watermelon. Visit tinyurl.com/26b8nudr. Amenti Beauty Academy, 3119 East University Boulevard, Suite A, is offering free haircuts for students ages 5 through 12 through August 31st. Haircuts will be done by the Academy students with a licensed professional overseeing the process. For more information, call 432-272-4444. Anniversary Celebration. Jesus House Odessa, 1335 East 6th Street, has scheduled a 20th anniversary celebration from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today. There will be food trucks and live music. Visit tinyurl.com/5DZA8Z8. Town Hall Meetings. U.S. Representative August Pfluger has scheduled town hall meetings August 2nd in Andrews and in Odessa at the following times and locations. 1 p.m., Andrews Senior Activity Center, 310 West Broadway Center, Andrews. 5:30 p.m., Texas Tech's University Health Sciences Center, Academy Classroom Building, 801 West 4th Street. The meeting's open to the public. Visit pfluger.house.gov. Babies Benefit. A Three Miracles for Belle benefit will be held for 2-year-old Belle Cooper, who almost drowned in a children's pool last summer and was severely disabled since then, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. today at Green Acres Mini Golf at 2905 East Highway 80 in Midland. Seeking a third miracle for the baby comes after she was born prematurely and needed heart surgery, said her great-grandmother, Jeanette Lewis of Odessa, whose church, the West University Church of Christ, is supporting the event. The Cooper family will receive $10 from each adult who plays miniature golf today and $5 from each child 12 years old and younger who plays. Benefits will also be derived from the sales of hamburgers and hot dogs and from a raffle for a $50 gift card to Green Acres Mini Golf, Lewis said. Contact Belle's grandfather, Don Hamilton, at 432-770-1979 or 3miracles-4belle@gmail.com. Lewis may be reached at 432-296-2715. MC Team presents research on electric vehicles. The American Mathematical Association of Two-Year Colleges, AMATYC, notified Midland College, MC, on July 25th that the college's math research team was selected as a regional finalist in the organization's Student Research League. The MC team will now advance to the second round of competition. Last spring, AMATYC announced the 2022 Challenge nationally. Teams throughout the U.S. had 18 days to research and prepare a report analyzing the costs and benefits of using electric vehicles, including direct costs to users and to the economy, as well as costs to the environment. This project included a cost-benefit analysis on whether changing to an electric vehicle for a specific usage is feasible. MC Associate Professor of Mathematics Jamie Neasley mentored the three-person student team composed of Arnaldo Montanez, Jael Ornelas, and Parker Two. The students chose to base their model around the personal use of electric vehicles, Neasley explained, after researching the costs of milling, forging lithium batteries, manufacturing, and transportation of materials, as well as environmental and economic impacts, they concluded that the focus for our society should not be on requiring government step-ins and huge alternative incentives, but rather let technology advances in the electric vehicle industry guide consumers' interests. They also conducted that as technology advances in hybrid systems, it will allow for more electrical usage and less gasoline consumption, thereby giving more mileage, range, faster charging, and cheaper consumer options. In their closing paragraph, the team wrote, "This means we should focus on more efficient technology that increases battery life and improves range technology rather than destroying the industry of the combustible engine and targeting the fossil fuel economy. With fewer trade-offs, vehicles like hybrids are more and more viable for everyday consumers. Woman of Distinction Celebration Set. Girl Scouts of the Southwest has announced the 30th annual Women of Distinction Celebration to be held at 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Petroleum Club of Midland, August 13th. This year's honorees are Kathy Eastham of Kathy Eastham Fine Jewelry, Kathleen Kirwan Haney of Senior Life Midland, Elaine Magruder of I-20 Wildlife Preserve, and Judy Rankin, LPGA Hall of Fame golfer and broadcaster. The event honors outstanding women in the Permian Basin who serve as role models for demonstrating leadership. Each one of them made a profound difference in their communities and creating lasting change for tomorrow. Local news roundup. Man accused of threatening with an axe. A 34-year-old man accused of threatening a woman with an axe was arrested early Monday morning on a failure to appear in court warrant. Octavio Ray Navarrete Jr. was indicted in May on an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon charge after a woman told police he swung an axe in her direction and hit her fence as she sat smoking a cigarette in her front yard on North Tom Green Avenue. Navarrete was released from jail after posting a $25,000 surety bond, and a pretrial hearing was scheduled for July 21st. Judge James Rush of the 244th Ector County District Court issued a warrant for his arrest when he failed to appear. The judge also raised his bond to $40,000. Online Ector County jail records show Navarrete was arrested by Odessa Police Department officers shortly after 3 a.m. Monday. Odessa dies in car crash Sunday. An Odessa man was killed in a two-vehicle wreck on State Highway 302 early Sunday morning. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Eduardo Lozoya, 28, was traveling east on SH-302, 15 miles west of Kermit, when his Ford Expedition traveled across the yellow center line into the westbound lane and hit the front of a Kenworth truck tractor with trailer being driven by a 57-year-old man from North Dakota. Lozoya was not wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which happened just after 1:30 a.m., according to DPS. Midlander dies in hit-and-run. A 31-year-old Midland man was killed in a hit-and-run crash in Reeves County early Sunday morning. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Jonathan Robert Ornales was traveling north on U.S. 285 in a Dodge Ram 3500 when he struck an unknown vehicle traveling east on County Road 337 in the intersection. Ornales, who was traveling alone, was found deceased in his truck, but the driver of the other vehicle fled to an unknown direction, according to DPS. Anyone with information on the incident is asked to call DPS at 432-498-2131 or the Reeves County Sheriff's Office at 432-445-4901. Dayton woman dies in Midland wreck. A 55-year-old woman from Dayton, Texas, was killed in a one-vehicle crash Saturday night outside Midland. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Diana D. Markham was traveling west on West County Road 127 when her GMC Canyon veered off the road to the right around 6:30 p.m. She overcorrected to the left and the vehicle skidded into a telephone pole and fence. Markham, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was thrown from the vehicle, according to DPS. Hobbs man accused in murder, other felonies. A Hobbs, New Mexico man was arrested on multiple felony charges, including murder in the death of an unidentified person. According to the Lee County Sheriff's Office, Tatum police asked sheriff's deputies to help around 9 a.m. Sunday at a home in the 700 block of South Coburn Avenue. When authorities arrived, someone at the home said somebody had been murdered north in Lovington on Thursday. Investigators found a concealed body near an abandoned gin near the intersection of Prairie View and Hennington. During the course of their investigation, Antoine Nilo Sosa, 19, was arrested on suspicion of murder, 3 counts of tampering with evidence, kidnapping and bribery or intimidation of a witness, according to the LSCO. He remained in the Lee County Detention Center as of Monday afternoon. The identity of the deceased person has not been confirmed and an autopsy is pending. Education Foundation awards more than $89,000. The Education Foundation of Odessa is excited to award $89,798.66 to Ector County ISD teachers for the 2022-2023 school year through its innovative grant program. The Grants Committee approved the funding of 11 elementary classroom requests totaling $31,022.32, 10 secondary classroom requests totaling $44,285.74, and 6 secondary fine arts requests totaling $17,050 in partnership with Odessa Arts, who contributed $5,000 to the foundation for this special allotment. Additionally, the Grants Committee allocated $10,000 to be awarded during the 2022-2023 school year to ECISD teachers through Donors Choose, an online platform that allows teachers to seek funding for special projects throughout the year. Education Foundation Board President J. Eric, in a news release, said the Education Foundation grants are the original focus of the Education Foundation. The grants serve as a way for innovative classroom projects that would not otherwise be possible due to school district budget constraints to come to realization. Every year we are inspired by the grants and the people that we have in our community, bringing us ideas to further the education experience for our children. We want to thank not only all of those that work at ECISD that serve our children, but also all of the community members that donate to the foundation that allow us to fund the annual grants as well. Education Foundation Board Member and Grants Committee Chair Tina Garza agreed and added, "I am very pleased with the work the committee completed and that we are able to support our teachers and students in ECISD." Grants Awards: Carver Early Education Center, Teachers, Tatum Row, Insects and Metamorphosis, Watch Me Grow, $1,000. Teachers, Paula Day on Paquette, Steaming Our Way Through Early Childhood, $6,500. How Does Your Teachers, Sandra Elms Art and Science, $943.13. Gonzales Elementary, Teachers, Diane Harlan, Stacy Howell, Gardening, A Solution for Less Pollution, $2,155.99. Teachers, Zing Jing Collecting Paw Prints, $4,377, Ireland Elementary. Teachers, Kara Shepherd, Performing in High Definition, $2,493.25. Johnson Elementary. Teachers, Dr. Zavoia Cryer, Greenhouse Effects, $1,451.95. Teachers, Yvonne Marufo, Fielding Tough Concepts in a Native Way, $1,554. Zavala Elementary. Teachers, Erin Riddell, Sanita Huertas, The Secret Garden, $2,620. Bonham Middle School, teacher, William Pettigrew, Hector Izaguirre, Brian Berentes, Stand and Deliver, $2,000. Bowie Middle School, teachers, Jimena Wolf, A Collection of Keys, $3,599. Crockett Middle School, teachers, Juliet Ferris, Content Creation Through Books trailer, $1,561. Teachers, Bria Maxey, Juliet Ferris, Student Voices Podcast, $310.92. Teachers, Juliet Ferris, Francis Varela, Cherry, Trezen Jack, Bria Maxey, Never Forget, $1,990.08. New Tech Odessa, Teachers, Jesus Valeriano, in Kindle Gallery, $5,876. OC Techs, Teachers, Shelley Wagner, Bridget Prophet, Mark Perales, To Walk in Their Shoes, $4,500. Odessa High School, Teachers, Cheryl Sellers, Sherry LeMaster, Rocking the Renaissance, $1,744.34. Teachers, Francesca Florence, Covering Our Bases in Harp Education, $2,075. Permian High School, Teachers, Patrick Mosley, Walk the Graph, $77,520. Moving Cones, $4,100. Teachers, Michaela Grenier, Take Drama to the Next Level, $3,500. Curriculum and Instruction Department, Teachers, Cynthia Rubalcado, Isabel Cardona, Rev Up Steam, Learn in Pre-K, $7,427.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.